Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five thoughts on the spring transfer portal. And we went through some of this earlier, but I wanted to kind of put a bow on it here as we're about to, you know, see...
mass chaos.
Some madness, I would think, out of this. Number five, will Dabo come alive? They have a lot of needs, particularly the offensive line, running back. You know, they're good at linebacker, but they could always use something. And then if you look at what Miami and Florida State and what North Carolina are doing, who are the other, what Louisville, dear God, what Louisville's doing, and you're just going to sit there and wait for your guys to develop. I mean, he'll coach them up well, but I just think that they're going to run into some depth problems overall, because sometimes it's not about your – it's not. Most of the time it's not just about your front line of talent. And what Clemson used to be able to do was, all right, even if you've got a freshman who's not ready, they were coached so well that when they had injuries – that happened, but they've lost guys and not replaced them, and that to me is an issue.
Like, I wonder how many of the top level schools who even can get whoever they want for pretty much whatever they need will start to have at least some cracks in their depth, because playing time and the money, obviously the money's huge, but I wonder how many of the bigger schools will have issues. Will they be hurt at all with depth?
I guess it depends on what happened. You know, yeah. Like, I mean, does a team have like four wide receivers transfer out? You know, I mean, it's kind of hard to know without being boots on ground in some places where something's expected. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you lose a quarterback, next thing you know, you've got the quarterback that you liked, and then maybe a young guy, and then all of a sudden you're looking for a spare part, basically, lack of a better term, and in the post portal period or in the post spring period to try and just get your depth back. So I think rooms can not be depleted, but they can definitely get wrecked by just a single guy in some cases leaving because you were counting on them to be a part of what you were doing or at least be quality depth. So, yeah, but with Dabo, I mean, probably not based on history, based on the current language that's still out there in regards to him in the transfer portal. I know Max Olsen in a recent article had him in the category of a portal denier, I think is how he phrased it, which almost sounds like really bad. But
he almost needs an intervention.
Like, but, yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to do anything because everybody's already told him he's not doing the portal the right way. They've already tried to intervene and tell him that he's not doing it correctly, but he's doing it his way, the Clemson way, and, you know, for better or worse. I mean, let's not act like they only won, like, seven games last year. They were still fine, but is it going to catch up to him, or is it going to prevent Clemson from being the top shelf that they were, you know, here recently on more than one occasion? Yeah, possibly. And, you know, how does that play long-term, short-term? I don't know. But, yeah, I don't expect Dabo to go crazy, but will he at least evolve a little bit? I guess that's the question.
I got a feeling he'll do. I think, listen, even if you think you have it, not made, but when you think you have it all solved, you never do. And I even think there'll be enough people that can kind of, no matter if you think he's stubborn or just doesn't want to do it, I think eventually you there's too much pressure to win there, even though he's won a lot. And I think he'll probably maybe just change his mind a little bit. It's not going to be like all of a sudden there's 12 new players at Clemson because of the transfer portal.
No, but we'll see. I'm curious if you know what he does long term, but you know, there's a chance.
If he hits three people that can play at Clemson,
three more than he's ever gotten.
Yeah, he's going to have to get three people.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Maybe he needs to gain somebody who makes a huge difference, even though who he has might have done it, but then he all of a sudden go, that's how it works.
Number four, who will the surprise aggressive team be? We've heard Mississippi State. I wouldn't be surprised to see Oklahoma listed here by Emory. He thought they would be aggressive, but who's going to come out of nowhere? Because there's always a team in the portal that you're not thinking about at all. Because you're like, oh, this team's got to do this, and this team's got to do, and they've got to go get this guy. And then out of nowhere, there's somebody that's like, yeah, we're going to sign these five guys.
You think SMU might be one?
Maybe. I mean, yeah.
I mean, anybody you want to be can be one.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just saying that I wonder if that might be one last year again. Wednesday.
Basically, I think this is a better question. Who we aren't thinking about.
Yeah,
that, like,
no, I get it.
That's going to, like, just, you know.
Like Minnesota. Or someone like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know who would be primed up for that. I will say, too, though, and this is not necessarily in Dabo's defense, because I don't think you don't use it at all. But, I mean, on average now, I mean, there's teams taking 10 to 15 guys. And is that really making the biggest world of difference for them? Are they hitting on 10 of the 15? Are they hitting on 6 of the 10? I don't know, man. Like, if I know Baylor's not the shining example of it, but, man, they've brought in about 40 guys, and maybe about six of them have made a legit major difference. I mean, is that fair?
Well, Texas State and Colorado, I think, were the two teams that brought in more people last year. I think they were. Texas State was okay under G.J. Kenny's first year, and Colorado was good for a month.
Texas State was definitely much more improved and exciting and spawned hope that hasn't been there in a while. Just in terms of, like, whoa, where could this go, potentially?
But I do think that there's – and part of it is there's coaches who have figured it out a little bit better for what they need of, you know, a lot of times I think if you – you should have some transfers that you expect to come in and start.
Yeah.
But you should also have a lot that you're just bringing in to compete because you like what their skill set is, and then you coach them up.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones that, like – but that's what you – you know, if you go get a quarterback – you know, like Cam Ward, DJU, Will Howard, you're expecting those guys to start. But if you get a guy who just went through his freshman year at Georgia and he's transferred out, you're hoping he starts. You probably think he's going to start at your program. But you also know that, like, well, there's a reason he's not starting at Georgia. Well, like, we want this athlete here. But that, I think that's the one. But when you have to add starters, that's where you get in a pickle.
Yeah, I just think there's got to be a middle ground because there's teams that are getting 10 guys every single year, and I just don't know how that's really, you know, that much better than just not doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's a middle ground to be met there. So, yeah, you don't want to do it Dabo style and not really mess with it whatsoever. But I also don't think that you should be relying on getting double-digit players every single year through the transfer portal, because I think that speaks to something that's a bigger problem than just plugging depth holes and needing a couple of starters.
Yeah, absolutely. Number three, Is Auburn going to do anything of note? They might be the team that comes out of nowhere. Like, they've been very quiet in the way that Gus is building the roster. Not that he hasn't added transfers, but he hasn't really – he's made some really, like, you know, Cam Coleman that he signed this year, a five-star wide receiver. Like, he's made more big-time high school signings. But I'm just waiting for the moment where Hugh kind of busts on the scene of, oh, no, I went and got this guy.
Who's that head coach?
Hugh Freeze.
That's Gus Malzahn.
That's Gus Malzahn.
That's Gus. It is Gus.
Listen, I don't always notice a lot. I don't. But I was like, was there a story that I missed?
Well, did you mean to say UCF? Yeah, no. It is.
Sorry, Emery.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm hard to work for.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad you called him out.
He's been perfect until then.
Hey, give me one of those gloves back. No. You get it back when you're good.
Yeah.
Are they going to do anything? Where is Hugh Freeze going to pop out here? I'm just waiting. They might be that team that I might have answered my last question, but again, with not a lot of quarterbacks probably going to move, that would be their biggest need, but I still am waiting for them to go and poach somebody that, you know, from somebody that's like, oh, this guy's definitely going to Georgia, and then he's like, no, he's going to Auburn.
Hey, they've been a lot better than a lot of times we realize, and especially they give Alabama hell. That's a great rivalry. Malzahn did, among others, and I think Hugh Freeze is going to be just fine there, and they kind of see a little crack in the window if they needed one or not because of the change in leadership in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Number two, Washington has the most needs. You went through it earlier. They have three starters back, all on defense. All 11 starters on offense are gone. A bunch of the backups are gone, too. People have transferred out. It's a complete, like, it's a blank slate for Jed Fish. The one thing he has going for him is that Washington rebuilt a roster really quickly between Jimmy Lake and Kalen DeBoer. So it's shown possible to do it. So if you can go do that, then knock yourself out. But it's going to be tough because they've got to fill a lot of needs. But moving into the Big Ten, they've got some more cachet now coming off the national title. They should be able to do fine, and they've already added some good parts. But they... especially since all this happened so fast, and they were the most affected by the Nick Saban hiring in the NFL draft, and, you know, graduation, you know, those three things all hit them at once.
Oh, I'm going to feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I know, but
they were really fun to watch.
There you go. They've got a lot to make up for.
What Washington's dealing with now, again, I understand the coaching transition, all that, is what a lot of blue bloods have to do every year. And in this case, it's even more severe because of the transfer portal, coaching change, et cetera. And it makes you even appreciate what Nick Saban did for so long at Alabama.
Yeah, I think they've, you know, hit a weird crossroads where a lot of things converged at once. But I'm not going to feel sorry for them because of the season they just had. And just asterisk, national title, appearance, not national title championship or win. But yeah, they knocked on that door. And, you know, part of the reason why they did was because they had a lot of players that were, you know, preparing to move on to the next level, as we'll see here in the next few days of the NFL draft. A number of Huskies getting their names called. But, yeah, the coaching change was a double whammy. It would have been interesting to see how they would have followed that up if DeBoer had stuck around, like how they would have chosen to build off of that. But I think they made a respectable to really good hire and Jed Fish. And if anything, if you're a Washington fan, like, thank God for the portal. Like, what would you be, you know, I mean, I guess you wouldn't be able to replace as much, the fact that you have a new coach and a new era and a whole new thing starting up, as much as it's taken away, it's also got the potential to really give back in a big way as well. So I think for Washington fans, yeah, you've got like a stressful situation given that things were so great and then just poof like that, they were gone. But in this era, with the Big Ten backing and the money that's going to come with that, they may not reach those heights right away again, but I do think there's the potential that's still going to be there for them to be very, very good.
All right, so the last two teams that lost in the national championship game, we know what happened to TCU.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington...
What happened to TCU?
They did not. They had a lot of good players leave, and here's Washington where they are in a different way.
And number one, Michigan might need a quarterback. Alex Orji is the one that they want to play, and he's super athletic. You saw a little bit of him last year in some specialty sets for the Wolverines. But If that might be the one that makes some interesting things happen, if quarterbacks might pop their head out like a meerkat and go, oh, mm-hmm. Michigan, all right, you know, defending national champs, okay, you know that, but they've got a lot coming back. They're gonna have 17 guys drafted. Michigan, again, probably as decimated as Washington. It just they're not starting from total scratch because they retained a lot because of Sharon Moore being there. But 17 guys about to get drafted probably from Michigan. So, and the biggest thing they'll need to do is replace a quarterback.
How many were drafted off 0-1 Miami? And Alabama's had a couple of those,
but not like too. They weren't in one draft. Like did like Michigan has a chance to hit the record in one draft with 17 guys that might get drafted.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Paul, thank you very much. Of course, TexasBeefHouse.com. Thinking about the Duvall family just outside of Tyler with their upcoming live and also in person auction coming up in 10 days, on April the 25th, what you can do to get the kind of beef you want from farm-raised Wagyu cattle and beef at TexasBeefHouse.com. All right, Garrett Ross, thank you, sir. What is that you're wearing?
Houston Rockets today.
Doesn't even look anything like
it. It's like the old school with when Charles Barkley, was like 94.
Yeah, those kind of baby blue like the Oilers. Emery Winter, thank you so much, very much. Also, Jack McKenzie dialing up. He's back there looking at all the great pictures and stuff he takes to cover everything Baylor. Keddy Daddy, thank you very much for the new golf gloves. These are absolutely awesome. I showed them on the air earlier on set. We'll continue to talk about them. Paul, great job getting them on the air. Keddy Daddy with their Claw Pro golf gloves. They are
$24.99.
Special. $24.99, clawglove.com, or go to Caddy Daddy.
The link was in the chat earlier as well.
So. Again, thanks to 365 Sports tonight at 10:30 on the CW. Thanks to Paul Catalina and Craig Smoke. I'm David Smoke. Our sponsors and you have a great night. This is 365 Sports, and good night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.